let's start with what Ben McAdoo talked about yesterday, and I thought your article in the Post was interesting. And it was your final question that got the answer that you wrote the story about, and he really hadn't gotten a ton of questions about the offensive line. Right. So you asked him about not Eric Flowers specifically, because he had been asked that question already, but the offensive line in general and whether or not the team had to rebuild it in some way, shape, or form this offseason, and you thought the answer was pretty interesting.
Well, a lot of people I talked to after the season, not around the Giants, but NFL people, said that offensive line needs help. Not a real great revelation, but they said Eli can still play. He can play better, but they need help. So many times you watch the Giants, and there are guys sitting in Eli's pocket.
And I think you quoted Troy Aikman in your article, who said that to you, right?
He said, look, Eli can play better, Troy Aikman told me. But you look at it, look, Troy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to have that quarterback feel to him that's saying he can't step up. The guys are collapsing inside him. You know, he needs more room to function. I asked that to Ben McAdoo, and McAdoo said, yes, Flowers, specifically about Eric Flowers, he can play better, and he needs to play better. But Ben immediately pivoted to Eli and gave us a pretty good laundry list of things that Eli needs to do better. Faster feet, can't always worry about a clean pocket, basically saying, you're the quarterback. You have to figure it out. You know, not every pocket in this league is clean. There are guys coming at you. You got to buy some time. You got to sit on that back foot and hitch into your throw, which sounds good. So I thought that was interesting. You know, unsolicited, Ben chose to criticize Eli more than he criticized Eric Flowers.
And, of course, part of that might be is that he might think Eli Manning can handle that a little bit better. He's been through the ringer. He's been here a long time. And Eli's the ultimate team player. So I'm sure in his own mind, he's trying to figure out things that he can do better as well and improve. So in that way, Eli being the most important player face of the franchise, that's how it goes.
Well, it's clear. I mean, Jerry Reese after the season said, you know, Eric needs to play better. He needs to play like a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see whether he's the left tackle. Maybe we'll have to move him. That is by far the harshest criticism anyone has given around the Giants of Eric Flowers. It's clear they want to treat him with kid gloves and kind of massage him as opposed to, you know, really push him forward. Eli doesn't care. I mean, Eli
exactly.
You know, probably not, will not hear these criticisms, won't really care about them. But this is public consumption that Ben is giving out information that, you know, and, you know, I wasn't the only one who wrote this, that, yeah, Flowers needs to play better, but Eli really needs to play better. And, you know, look, Eli makes the most money, and a lot of the pressure's on him. But in my way of thinking, Eli's 36. Are his feet going to get faster now? I mean, there are drills you can do to get rid of the ball quicker and have good footwork, but is he going to get faster? Maybe the priority should be strengthening things around him so this 36-year-old quarterback can function better.
All right, the offense in general, Ben talked about that. He touched on turnovers and how that has to go down. You have to do a better job handling the football. The other thing he kind of sneaked in there, which I thought kind of went untalked about a little bit, was they need more explosive plays. And I think if you look back at the numbers, I don't have them in front of me. I did this a couple weeks ago. The Giants have almost 7 fewer plays of 40 yards or more this year as opposed to last, 20 or so fewer plays of 20 yards or more. And I think that's kind of been lost in a lot of the talk about the offense this season, that they're not getting as many big plays for scores. And if you look at the games that they won, the Baltimore game that jumps out at you, the games that they win are the games they get those big plays for scores. And I think that's one of the focuses this offseason, too, to try to be a little more explosive with the football.
Well, it's Odell or bust. I mean, the running game does not give you explosive plays. That's all there is to it.
Maybe Paul Perkins might be able to this year.
Well, I'm saying what they have done.
Correct.
What they did,
yes.
And what Ben is talking about explosive plays is they don't get a 38-yard run. They don't get a swing pass that goes for 45 yards. Now, those are not easy to come by.
Yeah, I believe they were 29th or 30th in the league and runs over 20 yards.
Right. So they don't run the ball. And, you know, once Shane Vereen left, the screen game was really not there. So the running game you can extinguish as far as big plays, what they've had. Odell is a big play, even though teams are doing everything they can to stop the big plays. Most of Odell's big plays are slants, are plays that are not designed to be big plays, but he is so skilled, he turns them into big plays. But, you know, Victor Cruz had a couple down the right sideline, but not much, and Sterling Shepard really didn't either. So the tight end was not involved in any big plays. That's something they want to improve. Look, it's easy to say. It's easy for Ben to say we had too many turnovers. There's you know, probably 20 coaches in the league. We can look at their turnovers and say we had too many. It's not identifying the problem. That's the right. It's fixing the problem. They had a lot of young guys, and they were a little loose with the ball.
The Giants, only one of two teams that made the playoffs that had a negative turnover ratio. The Houston Texans, the other one, they have their own quarterback issues, obviously.
He said we were fortunate to be in the playoffs with those turnovers, and that leads to one thing. The defense. The defense was so good. The defense was better than they thought, and it saved their bacon in so many games down the stretch, and that's a great thing to have, a defense that can do that. You know, it's like a closer in the bullpen. He can solve a lot of the ills of the staff, but, you know, you can't score 15, 16 points a game down the stretch of a season and expect to have success.
All right, you mentioned the tight end position. Will Tye is on the roster. Larry Donnell's a free agent. Drell Adams, of course, their sixth-round pick last year. You talked about trying to get more big plays out of the tight ends, work that seam, and that could maybe even get people out of that two-deep defense you're going to see a lot, or the Giants saw a lot last year. Can they do that with the personnel on the team, or do you think you're going to see some significant additions in either in free agency, or do you think it's more likely they'll look in the draft?
They cannot do that with the personnel on the team. You know, Will Tye is a guy who started at Florida State, you know, started playing at Florida State and finished at Stony Brook. He is what he is. I think he's on the move. He can block a little bit. He can, you know, catch intermediate passes, but he's a second-level tight end. Jarrell Adams, I have no idea what he is. I think he could develop into a blocker. He's got a nice size, and, you know, he got some speed, but he's a developmental guy. So you need a number one tight end. Where do you get that? You probably don't get it in free agency. I don't think you get it. I just don't think they're available. I don't think you get it there. And you don't have to draft it in the first round. You really don't. I mean, you know, Jeremy Shockey's a few and far between where you draft a guy. I mean, there's not a lot of tight ends drafted in the first round. Now, having said that, if O.J. Howard from Alabama is there, I would run the, you know, they still do the card.
They
right?
do, yes.
And the Giants will pick him. I mean, the Giants will pick, I'm pretty confident, very confident that the Giants will pick O.J. Howard if he's sitting there at 23. Is he going to sit there at 23? Unlikely.
Yeah, his measurements today are off the charts, and they think he's going to do great in the activities here later this weekend, too.
It's just not going to – he's going to be the first tight end off the board, and somebody – you know, 1 through 22, someone is going to take him.
Right.
So the Giants are going to have to trade up for him, or they're going to have to, you know, kiss him goodbye. Is there another tight end that's worth the 23rd pick? The kid from Miami, maybe.
He came in with an 82-inch wingspan, which is almost the equivalent of a 7-footer in the NBA, which is pretty impressive.
Which is interesting because I think Phil Jackson has already said if the Giants draft him, they're going to also use him as a power forward.
So
you get like 2-for-1 there. And maybe he can play some defense, right? Even though he's an offensive player. So this is a good draft for tight ends, everyone says. So I think people need to not panic if 23 comes and they draft a cornerback or they draft they just draft a player that's not an obvious need. I mean, I think they need a big receiver. They need a tight end. Now, they can maybe be one and the same player depending on who that tight end is.
Right.
Maybe, but probably not. But, you know, you can get a tight end in the second round or maybe the third round that can come in and play. But they need a number one tight end.
By the way, if you folks want to get in, I'll take a couple calls with Paul at the end of this spot in a few minutes. 201-939-4513. Give us a call. We'll put you on with Paul. I've asked you a couple questions about the Giants. Free agency starts a little less than a week from today. Last year, the Giants were at the front of the vanguard, signing guys left and right, throwing resources around to get some excellent players in the team. You mentioned the defense. That's one of the reasons the defense was so darn impressive this year. How do you see the Giants approaching free agency this season, given they've already made the move to put that franchise tag on Jason Pierre-Paul?
Well, let me ask you this, John. What is the mall, your mall of choice when you go shopping?
I'm not really a mall guy, and I live in Manhattan. There are no malls.
All right. Okay.
Sorry.
So the
Manhattan Mall on 34th Street. How about
the
that?
The Short Hills Mall.
Fine.
Okay. Something like that. If
yes.
you go to that mall with $100 in your pocket, or you go in with $1,000 in your pocket, your attitude is going to be different. The Giants last year had, you know, money falling out of their pockets.
Right.
Everyone knew they were going to be big players. They were coming off a bad year. They needed to save and help their defense. You know, the fact that they signed bang, 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 you know, Janoris, Snacks, and Vernon in whatever order they did, Vernon first, I guess, was not shocking. I mean, it was shocking in the swiftness of this strike, you know what I mean? But the amount of money they gave all these players. But it was not shocking. They had the money to spend. This year they don't. You rarely have that 2 years in a row. If JPP is going to cost $17 million on the cap, the Giants go into free agency with, what, $13, $14 million to spend? You need to keep $2 million of that for draft picks.
Yeah, or a little bit more, maybe.
$3 million for draft picks. So, you know, they don't have a lot of money to spend. You know, they can reconfigure some contracts if they need a little more money, but it's not going to be a big frenzy here. They'll probably sign a guy early because, you know, most teams try to target a guy and sign him early, but you know, there's no big splashes here. They just don't have the money for it.
Well, and some of their priorities are probably going to be trying to bring back their own players. I already mentioned Jason Pierre-Paul, and I'll ask you a little bit about more about him in a second. But two other guys on the roster that are free agents on that vaunted defense from last year, Jonathan Hankins and Keenan Robinson. Both guys played pretty big roles, played more than half the snaps on defense. Hankins primarily as a run stopper on first and second down. He was on the field on third down a bit. But Keenan Robinson was their third down Mike linebacker, which is a really important position in today's NFL, covering tight ends and being a part of that great secondary that did such a good job.
Yeah, I mean, my thought always with a guy like, let's say a guy like Keenan Robinson, is he replaceable? Yes, he's replaceable. But who are you, do you have someone on the roster you can replace him with? I mean, if you're going to let him go, do you have to now sign somebody?
As a coverage guy, I think you'd probably have to bring somebody in, right?
Yeah. So then just re-sign him unless you feel you can do better. Mm-hmm. Now Ben McAdoo did say yesterday that Goodson is going to get more playing time. Right. And he is, you know, you could just tell from him last year as a rookie, he's a guy they like.
And you get the sense that I think if Kelvin Shepard doesn't come back, he's probably going to take Shepard snaps,
yeah,
I would think.
Right. Right. I mean, Ben kind of when asked about will B.J. Goodson play more middle linebacker, he said, well, he's going to play more on defense. We don't know where yet. He didn't want to pigeon him into middle linebacker. But I think his skill set is, you know, I don't see him as a coverage guy. I see him as a downhill first and second down guy.
And I believe that's what Coach Mack, the linebackers coach, said when we spoke to him. Yeah. It's a couple points during the season.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be a stretch to say he's going to fill Keenan Robinson's role. So, but Keenan Robinson won't be a big ticket guy. He'll sign for another year or two, and he wants to come back, it sounds like. So that makes sense. You know, Hankins, I get mixed messages on. You know, I've talked to people with the Giants who say, how can we let this guy go? You know, I mean, why are we doing it again? Linville, we let go. You know, for Giant fans from several years ago, Cornelius Griffin was a guy that we developed and we let him go. He goes, plays great for the Redskins.
Barry Cofield
they let go. Now, they had replacements for these guys. I get it. Now, are you going to tell me, okay, the Giants plan on drafting a guy in the second round like they did with Linville Joseph and like, you know, they did with Cornelius Griffin? They're just going to draft a guy in the second round and he's going to plug him in? Right away, that's a stretch. I don't think there is anyone on the roster right now who I would feel comfortable saying I can see him being in that role. So, but I just don't see how you spend, you know, Olivier Vernon's making big, big money. Snacks is making big money. JPP is going to make at least 17 this year. If they sign him to a long-term deal, that value for 2017 will be sliced maybe in half or $10 million, something like that. They'll
What's the chance you think that happens, by the way?
JPP?
In time to utilize that cap room elsewhere.
I don't feel that it is imminent. I really don't. Unless JPP really comes down and says, you know what, tells his agent, you know, I can't get $50 million in guaranteed money. You know, if I get $30 million in guaranteed money, take the deal. You know what I mean? Something like that. Because I don't see them doing that right away. You know, it doesn't behoove JPP to do that now.
Now, under the franchise tag, can other teams still contact him and tell them what they would offer him if he, say, was a free agent? And that would
It's the non-exclusive franchise.
Right.
So they can sign him
to an
offer sheet.
Yeah.
And the Giants can match it. Or they get two draft picks. The chances of that happening are zero. So, you know, it's good to talk about. And, you know, and I know it's a fun thing to, you know, we could come off the air or even on the air and discuss. Let me ask you something. If somebody signed him and they said, okay, you get two first-round draft picks, would you say, okay, I wouldn't mind losing JPP for that. That's an interesting argument if you're getting two draft picks. I think most fans would say, let's do it. You know, two first-round draft picks is gold.
In the NFL, two first-round picks, you're trading those for a franchise quarterback.
Yes.
If you look at the trades in years past.
Yes. You know, and JPP, I think, has to be realistic. He's not Olivier Vernon. He's older. He's had back surgery. He has a permanently disfigured right hand, which is a detriment. I'm sorry. He played terrific, but it is a detriment. And, you know, he's had shoulder problems in the past. He's coming off, abdominal core surgery. You know, it would look a lot better for JPP if he had closed the season out the way he was playing midway through. You know, he missed the last four games of the regular season. He missed the playoff game. And you know, you say, well, it's not his fault. No, it's not his fault, but it's a fact. He was not there. If he had played and gotten two or three more sacks and the defense surged to the finish, you know, they didn't blatantly miss him when they left, but they missed him after he left. There's no question about it.